Welcome to Let's Talk About Star Wars with me,
what?
Garrett Wyant. What?
We're back!
We are! We have not pod faded! Well, it was, it's been like 2 months.
Johnny B. Good moment, Back to the Future. Like, our hand started to fade. And then
it did.
Pulled it back together.
It did. And then we forced our parents to sleep with one another. This got real dark real fast.
And they were Anakin? Wait.
And they were Anakin. What? Yeah. Yeah. And then our mother passed away because she lost the will to live, or so says the robot doctor.
But it was midichlorians?
Okay. This is a celebration of Star Wars, not a bullet point list of everything that confused us in the last 10 minutes of Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Hello, everyone. I'm Garrett Wyant-Zirl. He's Tom Merritt. And joining us after a long break, actually, longer than we ever expected it to be, but life happens, Jenny Josephson. Welcome back, Jenny.
Yay! Hi! I'm so excited to be back talking about Star Wars. I've only just recovered from missing CreateCon in the devastation of my mind.
Yeah, we actually had to pull Jenny out of the Bacta tank right just before this. I mean, luckily this isn't video, so everyone cannot see how kind of gooey and wet you still
just
are.
Covered in goo.
Yeah, yeah, just total goo. I just thought you were going for a 90s hairstyle. Turns out it's Bacta. It's Bacta.
Yeah. Bacta.
Yeah, well.
She's Bacta and better than ever.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
That's it. You can't say stuff like that, Tom. That's very dangerous now because we are on this is actually the 8th episode of Let's Talk About Star Wars, which means I am out of saga titles to riff off of as the episode title. So
right, because we don't have a title for 8 yet. At this point.
Yeah, Bacta and better than ever. Is most likely going to be today's
Star
title.
Star Wars Episode 8, Bacta and better than ever.
Yeah, so congratulations, Tom. You better watch your punnies. You better watch your punnies. Well, anyways, before we get into it, I want to remind everyone that we are supported by the fine folks, the fine patrons, the fine Jedis in training, which I guess would be Padawans, but I never took to the word Padawan. I am going to call you Jedis in training over at patreon.com/letstalkaboutstarwars. So thank you to each and every one of you who are supporting us over there. So that's super rad. There wasn't a mass exodus after missing a month, but anywho, what?
It was August. August isn't a month. It's a summer.
It's the end of summer. It's like, yeah. I mean, well, if you're still in school, it's kind of the end of summer because it's like, oh no,
and
here comes school
again.
You
should stay in school.
You should stay in school. I mean, not indefinitely if you're done. I mean, if you've achieved.
Unless you're a Padawan at a certain point in the reign of Emperor Palpatine before he becomes emperor. Right after he
just
becomes
emperor. Just look up at the star charts. Just look at the star charts, kids. It'll all be okay.
Oh my God. Why is this such a dark episode all of a sudden? This should have been
my fault.
This should have been Empire Strikes Back. Goodness gracious, what's happening here? Well, how is your Star Wars fandom treating you guys? Because since we last met and discussed Star Wars, I finished Bloodline, the novel, which I enjoyed, but not nearly as much as I enjoyed Lost Stars. I had a good time with it.
I felt the same way, and I loved Bloodline. That is no disrespect to Bloodline. It's just Lost Stars is such a triumph, such a great story, and Bloodline I think is less impressive because in a way because you have characters you're familiar with play a prominent role, and so it's fun. But Lost Stars, I think, had that benefit of taking the risk of introducing you to two entirely new characters, which usually falls flat on its face, but doing so well with them that you just like it scads beyond.
Yeah, and honestly, Lost Stars kind of gives me hope for future maybe anthology movies with characters we don't already know and love. I mean, I would argue Force Awakens already kind of achieved that. Goodness gracious, the first 30 minutes of the movie is all new cast. I mean, we're going to actually, I'm kind of getting ahead of ourselves. Our big discussion topic for the end of the show is going to be what we are hoping for future anthology films. I think that's part of the reason I really enjoyed Lost Stars was for that very reason. Like you said, Tom, it was kind of, it was a triumph what they did with complete unknown characters.
I've been keeping up with the comics as well, and there have been some great threads in the Darth Vader series. We've got a Han Solo series going on, and Poe Dameron's series is turning out to have some really good plot lines, and Snap Wexley. So there's nothing not to love about
it. And there's the first Snap Wexley reference of the episode, if you are keeping track at home. Fantastic. I also, go ahead, Jenny.
My Star Wars summer was musical, which we will get to in a second. So I haven't been doing a lot of reading. I'm sort of in the like mental purification ahead of the next movie phase where I'm just like, I don't want a lot of plot lines. I don't want a lot of spoilers. I'm just going to focus on the things I already have. I've watched The Force Awakens more times than I'm like necessarily prepared to admit, just because like it's basically at this point, it's either eat a donut or watch The Force Awakens. And one of those has less calories. So I will get to my Star Wars summer in a moment.
It's clearly the donut because The Force Awakens is very high in satisfaction calories.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I also finally binged all of season 2 of Star Wars Rebels. So I'm caught up.
Oh, you're caught up.
Yeah.
Just in time.
I'm this weekend. I mean, again, jumping in the news is the beginning of season 3 of Star Wars Rebels. Now, are you both caught up on Rebels as well?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's Tom is. Jenny's not. Jenny, no. I wanted to talk about the last episode.
Here's what I'm going to do. There's a 3-minute video online that was prepared for AWODs like me. And I am going to watch that and be prepared to jump in at least to the premiere. And then I will, in my literally non-existent leisure time, go back and watch the first 2 seasons. But the problem for me was, I had that hot dog before hamburger thing where you're like, I need to watch Clone Wars and then Rebels. And then I can't watch anything until I watch that. And then I'm like, nope, we just got to get with the times. I'm just going to watch a 3-minute video and go back.
That 3-minute video is really well done. It even caught me back up on some things that I'd sort of forgotten about from season 1. I was like, oh, right. Yeah. So that is a good way to get yourself prepared, at least for the basic plot lines and everything.
Yeah.
I would also suggest just getting one of those hot dog hamburger combos.
I know. I saw that on the internet.
And then use a donut as the buns.
Oh, victory. Tom has figured it out.
Win.
And watch Force Awakens again.
I was about to say, well, you owe it to yourself to at the very least watch the last episode. But if you haven't seen Clone Wars, which I forgot, it doesn't really have nearly as much weight.
Yeah, there's a couple of return characters that aren't going to punch you in the face as
couple,
hard. But yeah,
a couple of return characters. It is a cornucopia of weight in terms of characters that are popping up in that last episode.
Well, absolutely. There's like the two. Two of the biggest Clone Wars characters coming back at different times are also just big, like, what situations.
Yeah, it's emotionally heavy, and I'm still reeling afterwards, and I need to know what the fallout of everything is. I need to see
literally
the fallout. So
guys.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you clearly, I think Thrawn was the straw that broke Jenny's back and why you're just like, you know, forget it. I don't care. I'm just going to get caught up, spoil myself and dive into season 3 because I
believe you meant to say it was the Thrawn that broke Jenny's back.
Oh, yes. There's no way I'm missing the entrance of the blue guy. Not even a chance. Like, this is big for me, and I am prepared for all magical things to happen in that as a result of Thrawn showing up in canon again. So I will get caught up officially, but I will crash course it and watch on September 24th along with everybody else.
Very cool. Very cool. Tom, I have one question for you because you've seen all of Clone Wars and now all of Rebels. Do you feel there was... For some reason, season 2 of Rebels seemed like a bit of a slog for me. It seemed like it had more filler than I remember any of the other previous animated Star Wars series having.
Season 2 of Rebels did?
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder if that's because you were binging them. I did not notice that watching season 2, but I also, as I did for all of Rebels, I have watched it from week to week. I think there were only like a couple episodes at the very beginning of the first season that I watched back to back because I missed the fact that it had come back. And so I never felt that, but I also had to wait 6-7 days between every episode.
Oh, see, I feel like I would have noticed it even more if I was going week to week. If I was just like, oh man, that was a very unconsequential episode. Like,
well, I just always felt like, oh, my time with these amazing characters is over already. It's been 24 minutes. Okay. That's crazy.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I was just like, could we move the plot forward?
You're just waiting to get to the end because you know.
Yeah. I was waiting for some big characters.
That makes a difference too.
Yeah, I had a little pre-knowledge of certain characters returning. So I'm just like, oh my goodness, the rest of this seems tiny in the.
Well, and you also see one of those characters at the beginning of the season, and then you don't see her for a while. So that whets your appetite.
Yeah, there is an episode kind of in the middle though, where said character shows up, and is exactly as much of a badass as you would like said character to be. But
correct.
Yes. Speaking
in guys, it's okay. You don't have to spoil it. You don't have to worry about spoiling it because I wouldn't even know said character if you said it.
All right, fine. We're talking about Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yep.
No, what?
No.
Yeah, he's basically the RoboCop of the Star Wars franchise at this point. They've they even got Peter Weller to do his voice. It's very weird.
I want to see that now. Please, someone make that mashup.
Somebody out there with Photoshop skills. Yes, I know I have them. No, I don't have time. Very excited for this Sunday with Rebels returning. And I will have to figure out a way to watch that because I don't get it with my cable package. So
yeah. So that's the deal, folks. Saturday, September 24th. If you're listening and that has already happened, then the episode's out there for you to watch. If not, set your PlayStation View Watch Pass or whatever you kids do these days.
Or call your parents and get the password.
I love Tom's failed attempt at trying to sound like an old man when we all know he does a show about this very subject.
I do too. Should we talk about the cloak?
Do we? Yeah, I guess we have to. So there's been much ado about a photograph that director Rian Johnson posted of what everyone is calling Luke's cloak. Although it has been called into question whether it is or is not Luke's cloak.
So he didn't say anything about that. He just posted the image.
No, he just posted an image of a robe on a hanger by a rock wall with a boom mic and some other random, film equipment.
Could be Rey's cloak.
We haven't seen Rey with the cloak yet.
Luke might say, hey, I got you this cloak. I'll trade it for that lightsaber.
Again, if I was Luke, I would take that lightsaber and throw it directly in the ocean behind me. But
sure, and give some whale a chance to become a dark Sith. No, thank you.
Yeah, but so Johnson posted the photo and the caption read, in the home stretch. So he posted this and kind of an ode to principal photography coming to an end on episode 8. And this just sent the fan base into a fervor over, oh my God, Luke is dead.
In the home stretch, I know exactly what this means then. We're going to end episode 8 with Finn returning a lightsaber to Rey up on the top of a mountain, and she'll be wearing that cloak.
All this has happened before, and all this will happen again.
I thought it was going to end with Luke going back to the Emperor's Dome on Tatooine and pouring himself a fresh glass of blue milk.
That's the second to last scene. That's the last we see of Luke as he's settling in Tatooine with some blue milk. And then Finn, then the shot of Finn. Climbing the steps.
Yep.
Oh, man. I like it.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful callback if Luke says to Rey, you can go and fight Kylo once you've helped me with the harvest this year.
I got to work on those evaporators.
Yep, exactly. So
you can go fight Kylo next season.
So were you guys, am I alone here? Because there were so many clickbaity headlines written about this photo of a cloak. Of course it worked, and I clicked on one, and that's how I originally saw the photo, and I immediately was just left with, why is this such a big deal? It's a picture from the set.
Because he posted it and said in the home stretch, and what does he mean by that?
Yeah, so
also because cloaks without people in them have deep resonance in the Star Wars universe.
Sure. No, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's what I think it is that like the defining image of the moment when Luke becomes a Jedi really is when he watches Obi-Wan go from human being to empty cloak.
Someone has become more powerful than we can possibly imagine.
I've never thought of that as when Luke becomes a Jedi. I think of the beginning of Return being kind of his.
I was going to say. say he goes from a boy to a man, and then I thought that was a little hokey, and so I went for Jedi. But you're
worst
right.
Worst bar mitzvah ever.
It's technically correct.
I don't know. If I was having a bar mitzvah and Darth Vader showed up and had a fight with an old space
wizard.
Stormtroopers
are shooting at me. The only guy I trust just disappeared.
Yeah, but okay. I see where you're going, Jenny, and I would agree with you if when Obi-Wan died, his robe went onto a very modern hangar arrangement.
In the Empire version of the Smithsonian?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what it is. It's on Coruscant.
Yeah.
And it's only $5 for admission on Wednesdays.
Yeah. With your Empire ID card.
Yes, of course. You have to, or your student ID.
You have to slay a youngling to get in.
Ooh.
Dark.
Well, I mean, in that
Sorry.
Case, you just have your own robe to hang out.
Youngling scalps 85% off.
A lot of murder.
Hey, let's get light. Not so much. Actually, the Star Wars comics have been sort of dark as well. Prisons and mass executions and hunting down and homicidal robots. And what they've been doing is they'll have a main story arc for a while, and usually it involves Luke, Han, and Leia. And then they'll break off into kind of an interlude for a couple of issues, and they're about to do that again. Last time, the interlude was Luke reading from Obi-Wan's journal that he had gone back to Tatooine to retrieve. And it tells about some of the things that Obi-Wan did in between episodes 3 and 4 while camped out waiting for Luke to grow up. This time, apparently, I'm not clear whether we're actually going to have the same device of Luke reading the journal, but we're going to find out a little more about Yoda's past from before episode 1. And apparently Qui-Gon Jinn, no joke this time, will appear in these stories, as will a very young Obi-Wan.
Oh, very cool. Are we going to see Obi-Wan with I guess we've already seen Obi-Wan with the rat tail. Never mind.
Yeah.
Pass. I'm pretty excited about this because I feel like Yoda is a character that we've only seen in his, you know, middle age and old age. And I want to know, where Yoda came from, because I don't necessarily think it was a swampy environment, you know, he looks kind of, if you had to think about it, he kind of looks like a koala. So could he not have come from a tree people area? I think it's just so fascinating. And then what is it that brought him into being a Jedi? And does that have anything to do with sort of the more ancient mythology that I feel like we're circling around with Snoke Potoki? Not to bring it all back, but.
Yeah, are Snoke, Yoda, and Maz going to be hanging out in a bar, knocking shots back?
Yeah,
We'll never get mad at each other. Friends forever, Snokey.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping for, because Yoda is the best opportunity to get that 1,000-year perspective, and I would love to see Maz Kanata show up in that.
My only disappointment about this is that they've said Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan will be in it, and that puts a limit on how far back the part of the story that they're in will go. And I want to see that super young Yoda story, like you're talking about, Jenny. And maybe they'll be able to do that too, right? Maybe we'll get a frame within a frame, and that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
there's no reason why you literally can't have that section, but then also, that's why comic book flashbacks were invented.
Totally.
At what point in Yoda's life was he even, conscripted into the Jedi Order? What's considered young for his race? Because he lives extremely to extreme old age.
You're only 99. You're not old enough yet.
Yeah,
it's like a hobbit.
It's exactly it's a joke, but it's also, how do you play with that? These are the kind of things that, I don't know. I always find fascinating, what new authors will do with pre-existing canon, which and the age of Yoda is something that's almost an obstacle that needs to be overcome. And I'm kind of with you, Tom. I feel like it almost feels like a cop out to just go back to Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon time. It's no, go back further. Take a chance. Really show us something we haven't seen before.
That's why I'm hoping Jenny's right, is that it's a flashback to a flashback, and we get several takes. And that would be pretty cool too.
Yeah, and then the inception.
I totally want to see Yoda sneaking into the bar and saying, "Old enough I am." when they ask him how old he is.
But again, is it 21 years for his race, or is it like 210 years?
To know better, old enough I am.
I can't even try. I can't do it.
Can't talk this. Too many podcasts today for me to attempt to do this in Yoda speak. I just can't do it, man. I just can't do it. Jenny, let's talk Star Wars music.
Okay. So there was this news. Was it this week or last week? I don't really know. It was
last week.
That news came out about which I was probably inappropriately excited, given that some other guy lost his job. But Michael Giacchino, who, as we all know, won an Academy Award for composing that super sad yet happy opening score and all the rest of it for the movie Up. For Pixar. And he also did The Incredibles and, most importantly to me personally, the Star Trek reboot music, about which I could do an entire podcast. I love his choices in that so much, is replacing Alexander Desplat, I don't know, the guy who did a lot of Wes Anderson's music and is a really sort of well-known composer on Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Now, this is like not a like somebody was bad and somebody was good. They did the reshoots for Rogue One and that altered the scoring calendar. And Desplat, who is also a very noted composer, like it, these guys are booked years in advance. So it totally bunked his schedule. He couldn't do it. Giacchino, who people often joke, like pretty much never sleeps, was like, Hey guys, here I am. I'm here. Like, and he's a real like known composer for J.J. Abrams. Like, he did Lost, and they're going to do, they're going to do Lost retrospectives of his music. It really has defined that series. So he very respectfully said, hey, guys, yeah, I'm now a part of this. I love Desplat, everything. But in my heart, I literally could not have been more excited about this, because to this date, there has only been and should only have been one composer on Star Wars, and that is the irreplaceable, amazing John Williams. However, if there was ever going to be another composer, because John Williams is, I believe, 84 years old, right? So at some point, that guy might want to go to Hawaii and like take a break. I doubt it. But if there was someone that was going to fill in and help out on these anthology movies, it could not be better that it's Michael Giacchino. It just couldn't.
He kind of is the heir apparent in many ways, isn't he?
It makes sense too, especially with JJ, you know, doing the first return to Star Wars.
As executive producer on the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very easy narrative to tell. It makes sense how we got to this. And also, even if there wasn't necessarily a J.J. Abrams connection, which it's hard to even imagine that because J.J. Abrams worked on Star Trek, but imagine it wasn't J.J. Abrams that worked on Star Trek. But whoever it was that worked on Star Trek gets pulled in to work on the next Star Wars music. It makes sense. I get that.
It has good symmetry.
Yes.
So go ahead.
I was just going to point out a really funny thing. I like in the rivalry between these two composers, I love that Alexander worked on The Secret Life of Pets and Michael worked on Zootopia.
Yes. It's a very small, very male club of high level movie composers, but obviously the number one guy at the top of the heap, without question, in the generation of, you know, Jaws, Star Wars, Superman, and it's funny I should mention those three because they were all composed by John Williams. And living in Los Angeles, one of the things that we are very privileged to be able to do is go every summer to the Hollywood Bowl and see John Williams conduct some of his greatest scores. Now, he used to do the entire concert. Now he's 84, so he gave up like half the concert to another guy. Which is neat, but a little confusing to all the kids who think they're getting Star Wars music and they actually end up getting like the Godfather soundtrack. And they're like, I don't understand what this is. But John Williams came out during his like 4-night run and basically said, you know, and this had been in the news, but it was really sort of magical to hear him say it because he's like your roguish old uncle. And he'll come out and say, like, he was like, look, I wasn't going to do episode 8, the music for it. I was going to, like, hand it off at this point. And then he was like, but I had this little problem. I was in love with Rey. He's like, I loved her. She is my favorite character. And you can tell because the music, Rey's theme, is probably one of the best pieces of music in the entire Force Awakens. And it is really the through line theme in the entire movie. It starts very simply of someone alone. And the way that it progresses over the movie is just incredible until the end when they're going to Luke's planet. It is just this orchestral, magnificent growing up thing. But it's also not done. And John Williams said that very specifically. It's a piece of music that isn't done. And he just didn't want to let anyone else do it. And to hear him tell it, it's absolutely adorable. Like, he could not stop talking about how much of a crush he has on Daisy Ridley / Rey. So it was really great.
That's fantastic. And again, it's like the narrative of the fictional movie itself in The Force Awakens, like, it mirrors that of the actual production site because it makes sense. It makes sense to me that John Williams came back at least one more time to hand it off to the next generation, just like Harrison Ford returned to the franchise and his character Han Solo returns to the story to hand it off to the next generation. Oh man, that just gives me warm fuzzies like crazy.
The completionist in me totally wants to make sure that he lives long enough to do episode 9 and I hope he is as enthusiastic about 8 as he was about 7 so that he'll want to do 9.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because it almost feels like there's a giant force surrounding us and controlling all our actions to make sure things on these movies turn out right. Even if you have to have reshoots, then we get Michael Giacchino. So I don't know.
I don't know, Jenny. Hokey old religions are no replacement for a good composer.
Anyway, look soon for my addendum Star Wars podcast called "Oh My God, I Love All the Music."
Let's talk about "Oh My God, this music is awesome."
Let's talk about Star Wars music. And you could just like kind of shove it into the logo.
Yeah, it'll just be like red text on top of the text that's already there. It didn't really make sense. Stamp music. Well, that's all great and lofty and beautiful, and you took us to a great place. Well, let's go down to the Cynicalville, or at least into Gray Areaville.
Bring it on down to Cynicalville.
Yeah, because Disney is already trying to lower expectations for Rogue One's box office haul. Iger in a statement recently stressed that that Rogue One is not expected to do as much in terms of box office gains as The Force Awakens. I mean, The Force Awakens did $2.1 billion globally.
That's all. Just two.
Yeah, they can top it.
That's it. Yeah.
It is funny to me that I feel like there's some other things in technology where people have said, look, our next product is not going to be like a huge advance. Like, we, you know, people are starting in the face of the interconnected social media world to not want to talk up their products for fear of having this looming disappointment because they were overhyped. And I think it's actually pretty smart of Bob Iger to say, hey, this is not going to make as much money as Force Awakens, stockholders. So don't go selling your Disney stock the next day because it didn't break all the records again. It's not supposed to. This is the talk to our TikTok release schedule.
Yeah. I mean, this seems extremely obvious because it's like, well, one's a numbered tentpole series continuing the Skywalker saga, and the other is it's exactly what it is. It's an anthology. But I get it too. I absolutely, like you said, Tom, I get having to herd the shareholders to a certain degree.
Should we just kind of transition right into our topic of the day? Because there's something else Bob Iger mentioned in the same talk that he was given at Goldman Sachs.
I believe
that
we
has
should.
Our wheels a spinning.
Yeah, yeah. He also mentioned that he just had a meeting with Kathleen Kennedy to map out Star Wars movies from 2021 and beyond, including a third anthology film.
Now, I think everybody expected a third anthology film. This is the first time we've gotten an official person involved to say, yes, there will be a movie after Star Wars Episode 9. No indication that there will be an Episode 10. In fact, what he said was, we talked about what to do after Episode 9, what kind of movies we should come out with. So I get the feeling that they haven't settled. on what they want to do there as well. So a couple ways we can go here is, one is, what do we want that third anthology to be? Because we know we're getting Rogue One and a Han Solo movie. The third one has been rumored to maybe be a Boba Fett movie or Yoda or Obi-Wan. Let's start there. What do we want the third anthology story to be?
Well, I definitely don't want a Yoda movie. I'll tell you what I don't want. I don't want a Yoda movie.
You think, but maybe the comics will change your mind.
Possibly. I love Yoda. I love Yoda. I don't know if I want a 2-hour film where Yoda is the leading man.
So certain are you?
Fairly certain. Fairly certain. A Boba Fett movie scares me to a certain degree because...
Did you just call him Bob Fett?
I said Baba.
I was like an Indian guru.
Okay, Boba Fett. I like
where you're going with this. Later in his life, he becomes a guru, and people have to come to him for enlightenment.
Yeah, a Boba Fett film kind of terrifies me to a certain degree because.
And when I say later in his life, I mean obviously when he gets out of the Sarlacc pit somehow.
Yes, obviously. I'm afraid of a Boba Fett movie because I think Boba Fett is cool because Boba Fett is mysterious. And the more you let us know about Boba Fett, less cool he becomes. Or at least that definitely was the case when Lucas tried to let us know more about Boba Fett.
How about a younger Princess Leia?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. If we're going to have a young Han Solo.
A recast Princess Leia movie that explores her life on Alderaan, because boy, do I want to see that. And you could have Jimmy Smits back and you could see that relationship. Like, Alderaan is one of the central unexplored visual universes that I would like to see. And also ladies
and
related movies.
Lost Stars kind of sets it up because you get this very brief glimpse of Leia pre Death Star, you know, pre being boarded and having stolen Death Star plans. And there's a lot of intrigue around her. She's a captivating personality even then when she's allowed to be on Coruscant.
Yeah, she's a sassy, braless princess when we first
totally,
see her.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
She is great. And I want to know how someone that young is that comfortable with power, because I feel like there's a great story there.
Who do you cast?
That's an hour-long discussion.
And also, we're talking like several years in the future, so the person you want to cast is like 8 right now.
Right. You're right. Unless Billy Lord can really act, I don't know who you cast.
I mean, if I had to just yell right now, and I think it's low-hanging fruit, I would say Jennifer Lawrence.
Too old.
I can't believe I just said that on the internet.
No, it's not that she's too old as a person. It's that that character needs to be younger than Carrie Fisher was in episode four, right?
But I mean, I don't know. I would be fine with the beginning of the Rebellion era Leia, but we're getting a lot of that in Rebels. Spoiler alert, Jenny.
Like a really mature 16-year-old. We don't have any of those
here in Hollywood.
The oldest you can, so you might cast an 18, 19, 20-year-old, right? Yeah. But that's probably as far up as you could go and convincingly still be the age that Leia would have had to have been.
I'm into that.
For some reason, like that, I've never thought of Alderaan as anything even remotely interesting. So they'd have to sell me on that. They'd have to come up with a good script. There'd have to be some real like intrigue going on.
Alderaan, the falls, the mountains.
Yeah, because like every
probably
mention.
Your impression of Alderaan was unduly influenced by the end of 3. That would be my impression. I believe there's a story there.
Honestly, it's been more from the recent novels I've been reading, because every time they mention Alderaan, they just talk about how perfect it is. And it's like nothing bad ever happens on Alderaan until it just blew up. And so they would have to, at least for me personally, they would have to prove me wrong. They'd have to write a really interesting story on Alderaan.
Well, I'll get cracking on it.
I'd also like to go at one extreme or the other of the timeline we know. So if this is post episode 9, maybe we can jump ahead into the future and just tell a story, or jump way back and tell an Old Republic story.
I would love to see
or
an
do
Old
time
Republic.
Travel and do both.
Whoa.
No. JJ Abrams. No, no, JJ Abrams. Yeah. No.
A Mandalorian, a Corellian, and a Senator crash land on an abandoned planet and no one knows they're there. And they find a machine that allows them to go back in time.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to set up an enemy mind comparison. Like, I have four fingers. sorry.
Fantastic. Do you think that they would be brave enough to go to jump ahead into the far future to set a concrete course of events that then they have to also worry about and jump through extra hoops?
And that brings up another good question, which is like, I'm thinking jump ahead, but don't go into the Skywalker saga. We don't know how episode 9 is going to wrap up, but one would assume it would put a period at the end of the Skywalker saga. Do you dare contemplate at episode 10?
I think I'm sure they're very much contemplating in episode 10.
But I think it's without the older generation. I think by the episode 9, Rey and Finn and whatever happens to Kylo and all those younger ones and whoever they're going to introduce in subsequent movies will be able to hold these movies on their own, or else they won't make more.
I'm kind of assuming he'll be Ben by then, but you never know.
Yeah.
Or dead. Ben or dead. That's going to be a bummer.
He's going to be Kylo Ben or Kylo dead.
Wouldn't it be Ben Solo and Kylo would not come into the
Solo
equation
or
anymore?
Ben Nolo.
Thomas and Fuego
or dead Solo.
I just want Star Wars movies like till the end. I want to be 85 years old and going to Star Wars.
I don't know that I want an episode 10, 11, 12. Like I would be fine if they start a new series, and maybe it's a new series centered around Ben Solo and Rey and Finn and their children. I'm not saying who has the children and who the parents are, but I'm just like, I want episode 10 to be, that's the end of Star Wars, the main saga. Episode 9, I mean, to be the end.
Yeah.
The way I feel right now. We'll see how I feel at the end of 9.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing that remains to be seen, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, definitely remains to be seen.
I mean, the cool thing about Star Wars is you can do a genre film within a genre film with Star Wars. I mean, there's so many stories you could tell. You could do like a Godfather-esque movie about the Hutt cartel, where we follow some character we've never met before who's just gotten in deep with the Hutts and trying to, you know, keep his head above water. There's so many things you could do that don't involve existing characters that's where I would like to see them go. I mean, that's why Rebels is so interesting. And that was what
Jeg Frittle was just an average traitor until he got caught up in the world of Grackle the Hutt.
Well, I mean, when you,
I was going to say, ho, 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 I knew it was you, Jabba.
That too. I wasn't saying
imagine
the Hutt
having
is
a decapitated Hutt head in your bed.
I wouldn't say that a Hutt would be the leading role again. I think it would be hard to sell anyone on that. But
on a desert planet, they started a casino empire. Tatooine just turns into Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell it'd be very easy to tell a Star Wars story where you never leave the planet that it starts on. There's so many ways and different places you could take this. Like, I would love a bounty hunter movie. I'm not sure I want a Boba Fett movie.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind a bounty hunter movie that had Boba Fett in it.
Oh, right. That's right.
Like, but don't center it around Boba. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's kind of like.
They ruined it. They had their chance. They didn't do it right. Well,
that's the thing, right? Like growing up, I loved Boba Fett, and then I saw episode 2, and I'm like, oh, really? He's just this little curly-headed kid? Ah.
Jango is much cooler.
Jango was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, Jango doesn't get enough credit.
Let's have a Jango Fett movie.
I'd watch that.
Oh!
I played the heck out of that game, which honestly wasn't that good, but it had a jetpack, so I signed up.
So there's something.
Yep.
I'm also realizing that Clone Wars touched on the whole bounty hunter ethos quite a bit as well. We had several episode chains of the bounty hunters and what they're like when they're on their own doing their thing. You know what I could go for is an Asajj Ventress bounty hunter movie.
Bring her to the
live action.
There's so many characters from Clone Wars and Rebels I would like to see a live action representation of. I need Ahsoka in a live action movie, and I need Ventress in a live action movie.
Well, that's what you could do, a Ventress movie, and then have Ahsoka as a bit like a cameo appearance, the way you're doing Vader in Rogue One.
It'd be kind of cool if if the story was told from Ventress's angle, Ahsoka shows up as the big bad.
Yeah. It's actually similar to the story that is out in novel form right now.
Dark Disciple?
Dark Disciple.
I haven't read it yet. It's sitting on my bookshelf. I'm working on...
Christy Golden, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on Life Debt right now.
Life Debt's good. I really like Life Debt. I
just cracked it, so nice. I don't have much to say on it yet. But, I would really like a bounty hunter movie, but double down on the Western angle too, by the way, because Star Wars was, that was the thing that drew me into it as a kid. That's obviously what I loved about Firefly.
So Jenny, I know you said you want Star Wars movies till you die, and I'm right there with you. Do you want episodes though to continue on from 9?
No, because like at a certain point, it depends on how they end, right? Depends on how they end. And they will ultimately do more, but I think they should take a solid break. Like, I don't think they should do like, okay, now we're doing 10, 11, 12. Like, I think they should take not maybe as long a break, but you need to like let care, whatever happens at the end of 9, ideally will be somewhat conclusive in the way that it was at the end of 4, 5, 6. And so you need to take time for things to happen off movie world.
Yeah.
And then I would like to see Rey as a 40-year-old badass. Like, I don't need to see her again right away, even though I love Rey more than anything. Sure. I want these characters to evolve because also movie making will evolve. And so in those, like, say 10 years, we took a 10-year break and then got Daisy Ridley back. Like, you're like, we have a fish hook in you for 5 years from now. Like, you will have even more advances in movie making. You'll have virtual reality. You'll have all new ways to really experience the Star Wars story. And I think they should be smart and let it breathe. Look, Disney's,
and the singularity will have kept Carrie Fisher right. alive, so you can bring her back.
Absolutely.
And John Williams.
I mean, and I just think that, like, don't squander your good stuff. Let it breathe.
Yeah. So on the flip side of that, they've been pretty successful with Marvel. Like, I cannot picture anyone else playing Tony Stark. Absolutely okay that they haven't really taken a break with that for the most part. Okay, 2 is basically 1 again and not as good, but it's not like it was complete garbage. It wasn't a horrible misstep. So, I mean, as much of a cop-out as it says, like, I'm okay with whatever they decide on as long as it is good. But I'm backing that up with the fact that I think Disney's proven that they can, for the most part, keep a single through line going for far too many movies, some might say, and still keep the quality high.
Well, Marvel has.
Yeah, and the Marvel advantage was they didn't have an episodes 1 through 6 that they had to carry on from.
Right.
And so maybe that's the solution, is after episode 9, you start to take a more Marvel approach where the plots are distributed around and they feed off of each other, but they're not, even though there's Avengers and Avengers 2, I mean, Captain America Civil War is really Avengers 3, but it's called Captain America Civil War. So
I wish it was Avengers 2.
Stay away from that linearness.
Yeah.
I actually just watched the commentary for Captain America Civil War, not to get all let's talk about Marvel, but it was really fascinating. McFeely and Marcus, the screenwriters, and the Russo brothers got together and they just laid out all the thought that goes into a cinematic universe in a way that I think everybody should watch or listen to, because it's just fascinating. And the way that they talk about the richness of the characters is really spectacular, and how they... I think that is something actually that Star Wars movies need to learn from, because Star Wars characters are in some ways the outline of complex, but they're not actually complex characters, right? Like, the hallmark of good Star Wars storytelling is young boy leaves farm, goes on adventure, becomes wiser. Right. You don't delve too deeply into Luke Skywalker's personality other than the fact that, like, he's kind of in love with his sister.
You don't find that out till episode 2.
But I think that Marvel has done in the cinematic universes, right?
Yep.
The best job of coherent categories, and I think Kevin Feige is not long for just running Marvel. If you really think about it, there's probably gonna be a little Feige crossover in our future.
I can see that. Yeah, so I'm not sure. I think I'm in more in your camp than in just 2 years later have episode 10. I think I would like years for whatever the moment is in episode 9 to land.
Yeah, I'd almost rather see a reboot of 1, 2, 3, 4 mm-hmm. before that.
1, 2, 3. Let's leave 4 alone.
Eventually 4, though.
Tom Barry.
Can I take a turn into sacrilege?
Oh God, here we go.
Hey, we rebooted Jazz Singer, the first talkie with Neil Diamond. Let's do it with Star. No, yes, go ahead, Garrett.
Let's leave 4 alone, except let's special edition the living hell out of that fight between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, because I'm sorry, it's lame. It's so lame. How did Lucas, how did you go back to that well to make it better and not do something about that stinker of a fight scene?
I'm an old man. I'm a little slow.
I like the fight scene the way it was, Garrett.
I can't tell if you're doing an impression of George Lucas or if you're doing an impression of Scott Johnson's impression of George Lucas.
Well, I think it was an impression of Scott Johnson's impression. Yeah. We all got it from Scott.
Yep, totally.
I kind of think that I really like it. It's reflective of the times.
It's exactly the way I intended it.
And okay. You know, shot first.
I was thinking that they would be brother and sister. Yeah, but didn't they kiss? No. They just didn't know yet.
Very sisterly kiss.
They didn't know yet.
I'm a billionaire and you all can go.
It's suck it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. George Lucas, if you are listening, even though I know you're not, I love you.
Yeah, and I watched The King's Speech once in the same theater you were in, which had its score done by Alexandre Desplat, bringing it all full circle.
Oh, hey, full circle. There it is. All right. So do we land on our like each of our number one request for an anthology film? So Jenny wants young Leia on Alderaan. Tom, what did you land on? I'm not sure.
Old Republic. I want time. Maybe not time travel, but I want to go back in time for the movie.
I'd be up for that. That'd be really interesting. You know what I want? I'm forget everything I already talked about. I want either a Stormtrooper or a Clone Trooper movie that's basically done like a war film.
Okay.
Troopers.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Troopers.
Because those were the best episodes of Clone Wars.
Troopers, a Star Wars story. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to see that done on the big screen with a big budget. That would be so flippin' sweet. Well, fantastic. I think that brings us to an end of this edition of Let's Talk About Star Wars. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you're listening, if you're subscribed on iTunes and you're digging the show, drop us a 5-star review. If you'd like to support us further, go to patreon.com/letstalkaboutstarwars and support the podcast there. We'd also like to thank the Andrew Allen Trio for our intro and outro music. You can find more of their work over at andrewallentrio.com/music, and you can get their Star Wars tribute album on iTunes. We've got a link in the show notes. Check it out. Jenny, when you're not talking about Star Wars, or maybe you're still talking about Star Wars on outside of this, where can folks find you?
Well, speaking of pod fading, I'm a little guilty of it right now. I'll tell it anyway, because apparently when two people who produce the same podcast both work jobs that are impossibly long hours, your podcasting schedule suffers. So I would just say follow me at JennyJ23. I don't even know anymore. JennyJ23 at Twitter or, I don't know. I got nothing. I'm working a lot. I love you all.
Yay.
Tom, how about yourself?
I would recommend, if you haven't checked it out already, Finding Sword and Laser at swordandlaser.com, where myself and Veronica Belmont talk about science fiction and fantasy books. So Star Wars comes up sometimes, but we talk about all kinds of good stuff.
Awesome. And all the podcasts I work on or do can be found over at amove.tv. So go check that out. And you can follow me on Twitter at Garrett Art. That will do it for now. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
Always.